Welcome to Core 242 Podcast, brought to you by Core Community Covenant Church. Now let's dive into the Word of God with Pastor Max and Pastor Trish.
Today we continue our series on Abide, which is inspired by John chapter 15, where over and over again the word in NIV is remain, but in many translations the word is abide. How Christ commands us to abide in him. We talked last week about trust and what that looks like, how one of the ways that we abide in God is through trust, not just theological beliefs and ideas, but through actual practice in our lives, through testing, through trials, and in other ways. Today we want to talk about how one of the primary ways that we abide in God is through Scripture, through his word. There's a lot of reasons why we felt convicted about this, but one of the inspirations is actually also in John 15, verse 7, which says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you." So we're specifically commanded to abide, and one of the ways that we abide is by remaining in his words, by trusting his words. And sadly, in the church, very often now, sermons are sometimes on, you know, one verse, one phrase, and then the rest of it is kind of motivational. Research has proven that Bible literacy has gone down in the church. And you get some wild theology and some wild teaching when people either proof text and they take a verse and they just kind of expound on it without context, or when they're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And that's one of the main things as we move on. Scripture is not just a holy book. It's not just a history book. It's not just a collection of good teachings and writings. We believe as Christians that Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit and is an authoritative word of God. And Psalm 119:89 says this.
It says, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." And the focus is that it is eternal. Even if you look through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation of this huge 6,000 plus years gap of, you see that the promises and the word of God that are shared in Genesis are the same as we see in Revelation and throughout the scriptures. So even that, like truly seeing it in the text, that it is always true. It is always something that we can trust on. It's always powerful. It's always effective. So that's why the scriptures are so important in our lives as Christians, and we cannot ignore them. And we cannot be part of God without knowing the word of God.
Yeah. So it's really essential that as believers, our life is anchored and rooted in his word. And it's really hard to do that if you don't actually read his word, right? Which is going to be the first point that we dive into, and have a regular discipline, not only through attending church on Sunday where you're hearing the word preached, but also in your private life that you're rooted in the word. And, you know, we could go on about how we could prove that Scripture is authoritative, that it is inspired by the Holy Spirit, that it is really God's eternal word. That's not really the focus. The focus today is how does Scripture help us to abide. Mm-hmm. So that's where we want to lean today. And keeping in mind, the wild part is that Scripture unfolds how the people of God have used his word to be faithful throughout the ages. But understanding that his word was revealed gradually from Genesis to Revelation, yes, which is what you were mentioning. So the word that Moses and early Israel had is not the same word that we have today. Even though it's consistent and there's coherence and continuity throughout it, there's, you know, the people have had gradual revelation. We have the privilege, obviously, of having the complete Scripture. We know the beginning and we know the end. So we come from a place, honestly, of incredible privilege that we have seen God's mystery, his plan of salvation unfold, and we are able to root ourselves in that story. And not only that, but in modern times, I mean, Scripture is so accessible, right? We live in a time where Scripture is more accessible than it's ever been before. So we really are without excuse to not be familiar, to not root ourselves, to not abide in God's word, and instead be just going off of popular opinion. So we want to kind of, we'll go back and forth between this text. I was led to 2 Kings chapter 22. We'll kind of touch on this a little bit as we go through our points today. I'm not going to read all the verses, but I'll more just kind of tell the story. This is the story of how Josiah becomes the king, and they find the book of the law in the temple. And then how that unfolds can actually teach us how to abide, because for centuries, you know, in David's time, they had the book of the law, which the book of the law at this time, God's word, was really just the first five books of the Bible. It was Genesis through Deuteronomy. That was what they called the book of the law. That was what they had on hand. And after David, when Solomon came in and the following kings, the scripture reading, the Bible, the book of the law, kind of fell to the wayside. And the following kings began to introduce idolatry and whatnot. So the word of God, ironically, was still in the temple. So the word of God was accessible. The word of God was still in church, right? But they weren't using it. And that's how deception crept in. That's how idolatry crept in. And at this time, when Josiah becomes the king, the priest Hilkiah finds the book of the law. He finds it in the temple, and he gives it to the secretary of the king, who reads it. And then the secretary of the king gives it to the king himself and reads it to the king. And it transforms the entire kingdom. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens when we're rooted in the word. Is first, mm-hmm. most of the time, I mean, pretty much all of us, we became Christians and we were exposed to the word because someone else, right, had read it. Someone else was rooted in the word, and they passed that tradition on to us. And that's what happens here, is that the priest finds it and shares it, and there's this legacy of the word being passed on and passed on and passed on. So in the first 10 verses or so, you hear the story of how the reading of the word of God is the first step that begins to transform not only Josiah, but the entire kingdom. And that's the goal for us, is that as we read the word of God, not only are we transformed, but the people around us are transformed, and the kingdom of God is advanced through the reading of God's word alone. And the reading is that important. So some of the verses that we have to just emphasize, some of these verses will be very familiar to you, but the goal is that we kind of tie these verses together in a way that creates an outline for us, that they're not just random verses, but that, again, they bring that coherence to the scripture to see how these things tie together to teach us the way that we need to go.
Yeah, and again, the goal for this teaching is how we can remain in God. How can we abide in God? How do we remain in God? And these are the topics that we pick. So the scripture is that important. It's going to bring us closer to God. It's going to bring us closer to God. It's going to help us remain in God. So that's why we looked at these, and the three things that we're going to teach about as we go through this is going to be we through scriptures, the way we abide is through reading of the word. As we meditate on the word, and as we apply the word. All right, so those are the three things that we're going to look for. And Trish introduced the first part of the importance of reading and how much the kingdom changed in that way. And we need to look at, we're going to look at a couple of verses that's going to give us a reminder why we do that, why we're reading. So that way it's not just like, oh, we should all read scripture. Okay, why? Right. So the first thing is Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Now, this is a very important scripture, because what it's reminding us is that for us to actually have direction in our life, this is what the word of God is doing for us. It's shining into the time of confusion, in a time of darkness, in a time of loss. The word of God is what's going to light the way for us, that when we don't know what should be our next step, mm-hmm. it's going to be the word of God. Amen. It's the word of God that's going to give us that truth.
So it's important just for us to realize that the word of God is not just words on a page, mm-hmm. right? So when we read scripture, the goal is not just to receive information, but that the word would be a lamp to our feet. In other words, it shows us the way we need to go and a light for my path, as he said, a light in the darkness. So let's go to Matthew 4:4. Jesus says, this is the next part of why it's important to read the word and know the word of God. Jesus answered when tempted by Satan himself, when Satan himself comes to distract him and deter him from God's will and God's plan. The first argument that Jesus makes, he says to Satan himself, he says, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So often we think that our life, we look at our basic needs and we make our decisions and we ground ourselves in the reality of the world around us. But honestly, we cannot live without the word of God. And that's not just a physical life, but a spiritual life. Without the word of God in our hearts and in our minds and ministering to our spirits, we are dead. Scripture says over and over and over again that we are dead in our sin. But when we become a new creation, when we are given life in Christ, we now need the living word of God in order to sustain us.
Yeah, the reason we chose as pastors to have the daily reading of the word of God, to go through the Bible together as a church, was not that like you should be reading the word of God. It's just we see the need of it, and we just wanted to encourage and give the tool to do so. So I really hope that as you're reading the scripture daily, it's not that, man, I have to because pastor said so, but because it truly is, it's the light to your path. It is what we live on each and every day, because we need it. As spiritual beings, now that we found hope in Christ, as spiritual beings, we need that word in our lives daily. Amen. You know, so that was the push for it. That was why we kind of shared the daily plan. The next verse is Romans 15:4. Romans 15:4 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope." So as we are reading these words from Genesis all the way through the New Testament, we are hearing encouraging words, not only seeing what God did for the people of Israel, not only seeing what God did through the young, new church, and in the lives of Paul and disciples and everything else, we are being encouraged through that. When we hear when Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," we go back and say that I learned to be content when I am hungry, when I am cold, when I am beaten. And those words give us encouragement so that we can keep on going. It's that hope that we have. It's that hope that we have in Christ. As we read about Daniel, as we read about King David, all these things are there to encourage us so we can keep on pushing through. Because if we look outside into the world, there is no hope. Mm-hmm. But we can find hope in these words. Mm-hmm. Because God has been faithful over and over and over.
Mm-hmm. So the next thing that we want to look at is that, again, scripture is not just the information, but it's meant to guide us, meant to change us, meant for us to chew on, right? Not just to fly through it and then move on to the next thing, but to actually take that word and meditate on that word. And so that's the next point, is about meditating. So when you look at 2 Kings, we're going to go back to that chapter, 2 Kings 22. After they read the word and the king hears the words, it says in verse 11, "When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. Mm-hmm. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam son of Shaphan, Achbor son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and Asaiah the king's attendant, 'Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found.'" So what happens here is not only does King Josiah reflect on the word in such a way that it brings conviction, right? But he also meditates on the word in a way that he wants to understand. And since this is new to him, since he has not experienced this before, and it so contradicts what they've been doing and the way that he has been, you know, living and the way that he's seen people around him live, he sends them to go seek. They go out to speak to Huldah so that Huldah could explain this word that they receive. And sometimes when we think of meditate, we're just like, oh, we just kind of sit with it and see what we think about it and see how it moves us emotionally. And did it make us cry? Did it make us happy? But that's not what it's meant. Meditate means that you take that word and you, in some ways, dissect it mm-hmm. to find out the true meaning, not what you feel it means, but what does it actually mean?
Amen.
And sometimes meditating means that you take the time to go to someone else to ask them to explain it to you. And again, we have the privilege now, thankfully, that we have the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, which is what Christ promised the Holy Spirit would do. So we have that advantage that we have a counselor, we have a teacher within us, that the Holy Spirit, he helps us understand the word. Because without the Holy Spirit, the scriptures really honestly are confusing and they make no sense. Mm-hmm. But there are, God has also given us other people in order for us to learn from others, for someone who is a little bit further along the path to help us to grasp the context and the content of what we're taking in.
Yeah. When we talk about meditation, Joshua 1:8. Now Joshua is just took over the lead of people of Israel. Moses just died. Somebody who has led the people of Israel, he did miracles upon miracles, and here's Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 1, it starts off with God speaking to Joshua, because I'm sure Joshua's just been terrified at this point. And the Lord speaks to him about all these different things that he did through Moses and everything else. But in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the words that the God spoke to Joshua is this: do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So what he was saying is like, listen, I know you're lost and confused. Here's a simple ways for you to do the right thing, to be successful as a leader. Do not let this book of the law, right? We just talked about the first five books. That's the only books that they had, scripture, apart for you. And meditate on it. Think of it. Chew on it. Break it down. Learn it day and night. Day and night. It should be part of your daily life. It has to be part of your daily life. Only then that you will be able to be prosperous, successful, because everything that you need to know for him, for Joshua at this point, was in the first five books. In the first five books, it talks about how God created the world. And for the first five books, it shows about how God freed the people of Israel. It shows in those five, in that scripture, how there's laws to sanctify and to separate us and remember why God chose people of Israel. There's all those things, all the answers, all the guidance were in those five books. Again, Joshua did not have the Holy Spirit like we do. He did not have the beginning to the end. He just had these five small books to be mm-hmm. guided from. But at that point, it was enough for him.
Mm-hmm.
We mm-hmm. are blessed with the 66 books of the Bible that we can look through and see to mm-hmm. be able to be prosperous and successful. And we should be able to. We should meditate on them daily. Mm-hmm.
And another reminder of this is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 9. God tells the people, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And some of this, the Jewish people took quite literally. And when they pray, they tie a box with scripture on it around their foreheads, and they have one around their arms. But in their homes, there's some of the beginning of this, which we did a series on, the Shema, which is verse 4. They put that in a little box, and they attach that to their actual door frames when you come in their house. We actually have that on our door frames as well. It's called a mezuzah. But what he's saying here is that you're supposed to have your life immersed in Scripture. It doesn't necessarily mean that you literally put it on your gates, although if that's what you need to remember and keep his word on the forefront, then do it. But the goal is that as we meditate, the word permeates our entire life, and it's on our mind, not just for 5 minutes a day, but this is something that we meditate on and we chew on all day, all night. We talk about it with our children. We have a fellowship with other believers where his word is on our mind, and not just on our mind, right? But he says to have it on your hearts. Mm-hmm. And there's a big difference between, again, just having the information in your mind versus allowing it to actually penetrate your heart. Mm-hmm. So es importante cuando lea.
Amen. The next verse we want to look at is 2 Timothy 2:15. As we still going about talking about to meditate on the word and the importance of meditating on the word, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who currently handles the word of truth." So we come before God doing the things that needs to be done. And he's looking at us and we're kind of showing to him that we are handling the word of truth correctly. Mm-hmm. And I think there's going to be a judgment. And for us to handle the word of truth correctly, we need to know the word of truth.
That's right.
Correctly. We need to get into it. It's a chew on it. I love that thing that people talk about. I know I heard a pastor talking about it. It's like we should be like cows. Where they like the what's the word? I think
chew the cud.
You just chew on it. It's a little bit nasty because they spit it out and chew on it again. But it's just one of those things that it's not only we just read it, kind of that's good, and then move on. But we need to come back to it. We need to come back to it daily and monthly and yearly. That's why, like, again, reading through the scriptures, reading through the word of God, it's not like, well, I read the Bible once and I'm good. No, because you got to read it again and again and again, because it's going to show the truth each and every time.
Right. Amen. Which brings us to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, which we've heard this probably many times. It says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." And we could take an entire sermon just to dissect this verse.
Yeah.
But understanding the reason why it's so important, not only to read but to meditate on the word, is that the word is living and active, which means, as he said, each time you read it, you're going to hear something different. Mm-hmm. If you really read the word the way you're supposed to read the word, it will speak to you. When you read a verse that you've read 20 million times, the word will still speak to you differently, because it will apply to your life at your point in maturity in that time, in that context. So it's living and active. And the active part is that, again, the words, when we read, we should read it in a way that we allow Scripture to be a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just that we're reading it like, oh, I should share this because so-and-so is really struggling with that. No, the same way you look in a mirror and you examine to make sure that your hair is okay, or, you know, that you don't have anything on your face or stuff in your teeth, when we read Scripture, we should allow Scripture to mirror back to us so that we can identify the areas of our life where there's conviction and change, which is what happened to Josiah, right? He hears it and he tears his robes and he's like, oh my gosh, God is angry with us because we're a hot mess, right? Mm-hmm. And thankfully, by God's grace, we are a hot mess, but he still loves us, right? And we're on this journey towards change and transformation. But it says that it's sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And this actually reminds me, when the law was first given to Moses, right? He comes down from the mountain and he sees that they've gotten caught up in idolatry. And one of the things that happens is that Moses actually commands the Levites to go and kill those who were participating and leading this idolatry, right? Mm-hmm. So they use swords to strike down. And of course, the law is lost in that situation. But even then, the law was revealed, and the law revealed the areas of weakness and the areas of deceit and the areas of sin. And in this case, it resulted in the sword physically bringing death, but the sword of the Spirit actually penetrates and brings life.
Yes.
Life. The new covenant does not bring death, but the new covenant brings life.
Amen. And the last verse, just to kind of finish up this, is going to be Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God." And this is, again, the importance of us meditating on the word of God, is so that way we can, as the word of Christ dwells in us, as we abide in him, it's a living word, not just something that we kind of read through it and that's it, to teach and admonish one another with all the wisdom. With what wisdom? Not my wisdom, but the wisdom and word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we need this, so that way we can, as we meditate, then we share with others, as we explain to others. We need that. We need to have that testimony that the reason that we have this hope is because of the word of God, of what we have read. And that through that, it also would lead us, because we know the what the word says and the hope and the promises that it has. Then it also leads us to singing of joyful songs, mm-hmm. because we know it's true. Now we can praise through the storm because we know the hope that we have in these scriptures and the truth that is in the scriptures.
And I love that this verse actually makes you think about worship in a different way, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good Christian songs out there, but there's something different about a worship song mm-hmm. that utilizes scripture,
mm-hmm.
right? And science has shown, research has shown, that music processes in a different part of our brain than just hearing words. Mm-hmm. And you all know, like, what you listen to, all of a sudden now it's in your head, and yeah. sometimes you have the song stuck in your head for days. But when you meditate on his word through singing and through, it changes the way that you approach worship. There's something to be said about listening to hymns, listening to worship songs that are rooted in the word of God, and how it changes you and transforms you, and how it resides in your mind and in your heart in a different way, so that you can meditate on those words and it will minister to you in a way that's different than just, again, words on a page.
Amen.
So let's go back to Josiah. Our last point is about applying, right? So first you read the word, then you meditate on it, and the last thing you do is you need to apply the word of God. So Josiah, what happens in...
I'm sorry, before you go there, just because I want to add that to it. There's a reason those are the three steps. We don't want to apply things that we don't know nothing about. Just because somebody said, like, oh, you should do this, go into the word of God and actually understand why you're doing this.
Yes.
Okay? I just wanted to kind of point out, because people, like, they hear something, like, pastor said that this is what needs to be done, and you're like, all right, cool, I'm going to go do it. Go look into the word. Are you actually need to do it? Is this something that the Lord is guiding you to do it?
Yes.
That's really important. Like, again, we didn't come up with this pattern, but it's really important to follow the pattern.
Yeah. So going to 2 Kings 22, again, this story, they go to Huldah to find out, you know, the context of this words and what the implications are. And she tells them and unpacks it. But there's this interesting part in verse 18 and 19 where it says, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you have heard. Because your heart was responsive," she's talking about Josiah, "and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard it, what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become accursed and laid waste, because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see the disaster I am going to bring on this place." So they took her answer back to the king. So the fact that Josiah hears the word and he applies the word in his heart, and he allows the word to transform him, God hears what he does. He sees what he does. And so the Lord is watching how we respond to scripture. The Lord is watching how we allow his word to transform us. And with that, we find favor in God's eyes, not necessarily through monetary blessings or whatnot, but favor in his presence, you know, affirmation, blessings in so many ways, because we actually apply it to our hearts the way that Josiah did. And what the next step of what happens, because God promises, now he says it's not going to change the circumstances. Judah is still going to suffer. I'm still going to wipe it out. And the reality is we live in a world that's going to fade away. We live in a world, Revelation talks about how everything is going to just crash and burn. But the part of the reason why we need to abide in God's word is because we have to realize part of our calling, we're the salt of the earth, right? We're the light of the world. And what that means is that there's a part that Christians, and I think this gets lost on us a lot of times, that Christians being the salt means we actually preserve. We allow God's grace to continue, because part of the reason God does not destroy the earth right then and there is because he has believers who are a remnant on earth, who are being faithful to his word. And as long as he sees that, right, over and over and over in scripture, you see, you know, Abraham advocating for Sodom and Gomorrah, like, Lord, if you find even 10, you know, there's other places where he's like, if I find even one, I won't destroy the city. So when God looks down on the earth, as much as there's this wickedness, God is like, you know what? As long as my people are abiding in me, as long as my people are being faithful, I will withhold my wrath for their sake, right? Because Jesus even says, if those days were not cut short for the sake of the elect. Yeah. So in other words, God is like, you know what? I don't want them to have to suffer the judgment that's coming because they're abiding in me. So we look at as early as Job, yeah. Right?
Yeah, and just before I read the scripture about Job's life, I want to remind you guys who Job was. In chapter 1, verse 8, this is the Lord speaking to Satan about Job. It says, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." That's who Job is. And then we look at Job 23, verse 11 and 12. And of course, this is after all the pain and suffering he's going through. Job says, "My feet have closely followed his steps." God's steps. "I have kept to his way without turning aside. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread." The reason Job was able to live this life that God himself testified about his life is that because Job followed God's words step by step, day by day. I love this comparison is that I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. It's truly understanding. He applied itself so much that he understood the importance of the word of God. There's so many times we go through the day busy, so busy, and we find zero time for the word of God, and rely just on the daily bread, and forgetting how much more the word of God is.
One thing I forgot to mention is that if you want to, you can go to 2 Kings 23. We're not going to spend time on that. But the entire chapter talks about how after hearing this word, Josiah creates incredible changes. He takes down all the high places. You know, there's some crazy stuff happening in the temple where there's a prostitution happening in the temple. There are high places where the Israelites are sacrificing their children. I mean, there's just horrific stuff. And Josiah removes all of that. Again, not only did he change, but he changed the things that he had. So when you come to know the Lord and the word penetrates your heart, you now can impact your children, your family, your workplace, wherever God has put you in a position, you can begin to transform that environment by applying the word of God. Remember, these were not just his ideas. He heard the word and he was like, oh my gosh, we are not supposed to be doing this. We need to make some changes, right? And those changes will not only affect us, but they will affect the people around us. And I forgot to mention that at the beginning, so I wanted to mention it now. But in James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, to really just drive this home, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." Again, not just hearing the word, but doing what it says. And I love the fact that he alludes to God's word as the perfect law. And remember, at this time, you know, they pretty much had the entire Old Testament. They may have had the Gospels already written at this point, but James himself, you know, as he's writing this, doesn't realize that what his writing is actually inspired and will be included in the very scriptures that he's talking about, so that we would be using it today. But he reiterates the fact that scripture is meant to be like a mirror, right? If your hair was a disaster and you had stuff in your teeth and you looked in the mirror and then you were just like, cool, and walked away, right? That's not the whole purpose. Then why did you even look in the mirror? No, you look in the mirror and then you allow that to make decisions in order to get yourself together. Right? So when we read the word, we have to also apply what we have heard.
The problem is that there are people who read, who look in the mirror, they see their mess, and they're like, eh, good enough. And there's enough people that look in the scriptures, and they read the word, and they're convicted by the Holy Spirit, and they're like, eh, it's okay. So that's kind of where the heartbreak is, mm-hmm. is that there are people who do see the wrongs, and they're okay with that. Even though there's a conviction of the Holy Spirit with it.
Yeah.
Next verse that I would like to read for application, because it kind of brings it down, is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It speaks about the scripture. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So this is just a reminder of what the scripture's for, that it's not just to kind of read it and just sit on it. It is there to teach with. It is there to rebuke with. It is there to correct with. It is there to train in righteousness. Those are all important things that we need to do with it. It's not just there for nothing. And the good thing is that even if we're not teaching somebody else, the scripture is going to do this to us. As we read, the scripture is going to teach us. The scripture is going to rebuke us. Yeah. The scripture is going to correct our lives. And the scripture is going to train us in righteousness if we are allowing the scripture to do that.
Amen. Praise God.
So Amen. We'll finish the last, what we're going to look at is Psalm 119. It's a long chapter, but it's an amazing chapter. Again, we said David still had access to the word at that point in time. You know, as he looked forward to having the temple, the word of God was still present. There were still men of God around who were teaching that word, you know, prophets and whatnot. And he writes an entire chapter. It is the longest chapter in the entire Bible. And as you read through it, the entire thing, every single verse is talking about God's word and his love for God's word and what God's word is meant to do. It's about God's law and how much we need to abide in our lives and apply that word to our life. There's all these verses. Again, we just like to point you so that you can affirm what we're saying and test what we're saying. Read chapter 119, take a few minutes to read it, meditate on it, and then apply and say, you know, I remember I was young. I was probably 13 years old. And I remember reading Psalm 119 because I had to for confirmation class. And as I read, at 13 years old, I found scripture to be kind of boring, especially because I was trying to read through the Bible and you get to like Leviticus and Numbers and you just mentally check out. But I managed to make it to the book of Psalms and I read David's words about how much he loved the law and how amazing God's law was. And there, it birthed this, and I remember this moment, it birthed a hunger in me to like, wow, I must be missing something. Like, I want to love God's word and experience what David is talking about. And it changed me even at that young age, that, and I think that God honored that prayer and answered that prayer. As you can hear, I get really excited when we talk about God's word. So hopefully that, you know, that is reflected similar to the way David was a man after God's own heart. So read Psalm 119, just hear over and over again David's declarations of praise for God's word. I just want to read two specific verses from 119. Verse 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And that's the charge that we have today, is not just to read God's word, not to meditate on God's word, but to allow it to penetrate, to hide it in our heart, so that when hardship comes, There have been times, and many of you may have experienced this, you go through something, something happens, and all of a sudden a scripture, you don't even have to open your Bible, but a scripture verse will come to mind that will encourage you and remind you in that exact moment that applies to what you are going through. So hiding his word in your heart, and what happens is it pops out when you least expect it in order that you may walk in the way that God wants you to go. And then the last verse is 105, Psalm 119, 105, which just says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. We already shared this verse, but this is how we should see scripture. That scripture is living and active, that it's meant to be a light for our feet, so that every step of the way in our journey, we know where we need to go. And it's meant to be a light for our path, so that in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the trials, tribulations, sufferings, when we would otherwise lose hope, scripture reminds us of God's promises and that he is faithful and that he is good.
Amen. Thank you for spending time with us during this episode. We pray that this teaching blessed you and brought you closer to understanding God. If you'd like to contact us, please email us at corechurch242@gmail.com. Until next time, know you are loved and covered in prayer.